Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear ye, read all about it. New bread king in town. Thousands fed in the wilderness. Free food for everyone. That's what it would have sounded like if they had a paper boy back then in the day. Except I think that a rolled up newspaper would have hit Philip in the head, if there was. But here today, the crowd wants to make Jesus the bread king. They've seen the miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fish, thousands fed. And they reach a conclusion that this is the prophet. Let's make him king. They knew about Moses in the Exodus, how they had no food and the Lord made it rain bread from heaven. And yet we want that again. Be Moses for us. Be a king who can keep the bread coming. The large crowd that was following Jesus were only following Jesus because the signs that they saw that he was doing on the sick. Therefore, naturally, there's a hunger for more miracles. For the Lord to turn everything around and do it now. And do it abundantly. How many people in the world today who say they follow Jesus are doing it that they may get miracles, expecting to receive an abundance, because that would be misunderstanding the gospel. Whenever somebody misunderstands the gospel, it leads to misunderstanding Jesus. They seek a bread king, not a savior from sin. They seek someone who will keep the pantry full. But Jesus did not come to fill empty stomachs. And there lurks a question, is what Jesus gives enough? Feeding of the 5,000 directs our attention to whatever Jesus gives is more than enough. But we, like Philip, like to do the math. 5 loaves, 2 fish, thousands of people. And from a human viewpoint, that's not enough. But Jesus, fully God, yet fully man, has to deal with human reason. And he questions it. Where, Philip, are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And he said this to test him. We can relate. Maybe Texas Roadhouse is doing one of their bread roll giveaways. Go check it out. But Philip was a fisherman by trade. And fishermen, when they bring the catch into the marketplace, they gotta be good at counting. So he understands the exchange of money. Therefore, he answers Jesus, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for all these people. But keep in mind, the number John gives, the 5,000 number, only includes men. So the men sit down, but there are women and children there. So in reality, there were more than 5,000 people. 200 denarii. No way, Jose. And 200 denarii just so happened to be the salary of 1 year. 1 year's wages back then. That's what 200 denarii is. So what the disciples see isn't enough. What the congregation who grumbled against the Lord in the wilderness saw was not even 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Their pantries had run dry, and the people numbered in that wilderness place was about 10 to 20 times the number of people that was sitting on the ground. So imagine Andrew looking around, maybe for a hot dog stand, right, at this point. Oh, perhaps he'll go to the other side, the Sea of Tiberias, on the other side of Galilee. But no, I can't go over there because there's no friendlies on that side. That was Gentile land. To do that would be crossing over to Gentile land. Nonetheless, Andrew's keen eye sees a boy with a picnic basket. You youngster, come here. Let me see what's in the basket. He looks and, okay, Rabbi, I found 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus answers, seat the guest. Jesus tells them to recline at table on the grass, the very position of how you eat the Passover meal, by the way. Recline at table. And then what does Christ do? When he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted, and everyone eats to the full. And there were leftovers, 12 baskets full, more than enough. See, Christ does not just provide enough. With him, there is always more than enough. We measure Christ's gifts by what we can see. Too few loaves, too little strength, too little faith, too little help. But Christ deliberately begins with what looks insufficient so that it becomes clear that the results come from him. The result comes from him. But what about reason? Reason calculates scarcity. Christ creates abundance. We hear in a small catechism concerning the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control. Wow, this is a list. Good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. That's all included when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. Yet still the key is to locate the abundance of Christ's gifts, not in daily circumstances. In daily life, Christians often live with less than enough. Life often feels like not enough. Not enough money, not enough strength, not enough time, not enough health. Though Christians are not promised abundance in these things. The promise where abundance may be found is in one place where there is always more than enough. And the gifts Christ gives his church. And there Christ gives forgiveness, mercy, and life. Gifts that are never scarce in this place. The world may run on shortage. Your life may feel like shortage. But where Christ feeds the church, his church, there is never a shortage of grace. Therefore, we do not follow Christ by how full our earthly basket is. We follow him because to follow him is more than enough. Understand this. The problem was never the bread. The problem was forgetting who was holding it. Who is holding the bread? Because if Christ is holding the bread, nothing is lost. Even after the abundance, Jesus has them gather up fragments, leftovers. Because when Christ gives something, nothing is wasted and nothing runs out. With the 12 leftover baskets, Jesus is teaching the disciples they will be the ones to go on to continue to be the servers of those who recline at table. And after all this, this is in the same chapter of John, chapter 6. Jesus withdraws from them, but some get in their boats and follow after him, search for him again. It is where, in John chapter 6, first Jesus walks on the water. It's in verse 25. And when they found him on the other side, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, you are not seeking me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." They then said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do? Show us another sign that we may see and believe you. What work do you perform?" They continue telling Jesus a story, the Exodus story. "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." You needed to hear that part of the chapter in order to put it all together. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And here it is, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." The fragments, gather them up. I shall lose nothing. The church lives from that. The church gathers around the apostles' teaching, the same teaching that they devoted themselves to, and the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and prayers. And the result? Awe came upon every soul. The Lord added to their number day by day. You see, Christ's gifts in the church are not rationed. They are more than enough. And in Acts 2, it's not scarcity the way it is in John 6. The believers there are simply living from what Christ gives. They didn't chase the miracles like the crowd did in John chapter 6, but devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread so that what Christ gives is not lost among them. They do not stop doing that. And the church was never meant to stop doing it either, distributing the bread. And the word devoted there matters too, because the church are people who return again and again to where Christ gives himself. 5 loaves, 2 fish, not enough. That calculation changes depending on whose hands the bread is in. Because when Christ holds the bread, it is more than enough. Christ, the bread that came down from heaven to give himself for the life of the world. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Crucified, died, buried, raised. "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Christ rises and ascends that he may now work through the church. Because the church moves forward, continues the more than enough action of Jesus that he gives. After the resurrection, the church still gathers. Why? Because they knew something now. The same Christ who once took 5 loaves and fed thousands is still feeding people. And the church discovers that again and again. With Christ, there is always more than enough. And all who believed and worked together and had all things in common. Not full bellies, but generous hearts. They became the boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish and give it away. You represent the fragments that the disciples keep gathering through his body, the church, that nothing may be lost. More than enough. The Lord adding to their number day by day those who were being saved, those who were being saved. Not we're saved, but that's a continual motion, a process that doesn't turn off. What does that mean for us? We are being saved day by day, week to week. How? In the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. More than enough. Because when the bread is in Christ's hands, there is always more than enough. Here we are gathered, seated, supplied, and have the life of the world himself, who is Christ. And nothing in heaven or on earth can compare to that. When all else seems lost, he gathers, takes, blesses, and multiplies the gifts of God for the people of God. Following Jesus, the bread come down from heaven that never melts. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his resting place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priest I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. Hear ye, hear ye. Read all about it. The bread of life is in town. Thousands times ten thousands fed. Free food for everyone. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is host, server, and meal. More than enough. More than enough. In the name of Jesus. Amen.